Sorry to be so secretive, but this second assassination has every conspiracy theorist going crazy. Even though the Benignity has claimed responsibility.
They have?
Oh, yes. Very formally, in the Grand Council. Apparently they inserted an assassin by having him impersonate a fencing instructor.
A fencing instructor?
Esme's mind raced, wondering why the head of the Grand Council would have wanted to learn how to build fences.
Sword fighting, that kind of fencing. Fooled me too the first time I heard it.
So anyway, that was fantastic enough. So of course a lot of people didn't believe it. They thought maybe our family had done it to get back at Hobart for having my father killed.
Esme felt she'd somehow missed more than a month or so of time and was being yanked into the future at high speed.
He did? I didn't hear anything about that.
Actually, he didn't. Well, not directly. It was one of his hangers-on who had hoped to curry some favor with him.
Esme held up her hand.
Wait, your father was shot, wasn't he? Or was he stabbed with a sword, too?
Shot, yes. And everyone thought it was the New Tech's militia, only it wasn't. But Pater, the man who had it done, gave enough hints to Lady Cecilia. Do you know Lady Cecilia?
No, but I've heard of her. Who is Pater?
Oh, an idiot. A distant relative of Hobart Consuline's and a pain in the rear. Hobart made him Minister of Foreign Affairs.
So, if you know he did it, what have you done about him?
Brun and Kate exchanged glances.
Oh, that's another one of those difficult bits. My mother killed him. By accident, during a fencing match.
Your mother killed her husband's murderer by accident?
That's what the report said. Mother's foil broke, leaving a sharp point, and Pater's mask failed. Of course, there are people who don't believe that either. Oh, the timing couldn't have been worse from the family's point of view.
One failure might be accident. Two failures made a suspicious coincidence. Esme waited.
It was an old foil, an antique. I don't know why they were fencing with antiques. Probably Pater, he was like that. He thought old meant stylish.
And then it broke.
Yes, as near as we can tell. Pater died several days before Hobart was assassinated. You know how it is with relative time between systems. Lady Cecilia arrived just after it happened.
Another handy coincidence?
Esme thought of her one glimpse of Lady Thornbuckle, the day Brun had come back to Rockhouse Major. The slim, elegant woman who had seemed far too tame a mother for someone like Brun.
So, some people blame your family because both this Pater and the Speaker were killed with swords?
It's more than that. We're in the Barraclough Sept, you know. And Hobart was a Consuline.
Esme didn't interrupt to explain that she had no idea what a sept was.
There used to be 5 septs, but now there are just 2. All the families, the seated families, have aggregated into these 2. They're rivals, economically and politically. The Consulines lost prestige and also profit when the Moraline mess on Patchcock came out about the rejuvenation drugs.
Rejuvenation drugs?
Yes, it was right after the battle at Xavier. I guess you've been tied up in legal matters. But to make a long story short, the Moraline pharmaceutical plants on Patchcock were making rejuve drugs and using a cut-rate process that produced inferior product. There was a lot of other stuff involved. A Benignity agent, abuse of workers. But it meant that the Moraline brothers lost control of the family company to their sister, Venezia, and profits dropped like a stone. Rejuvenation pharmacology had been their main cash cow and the reason they had so much influence in the Consuline sept.
Esme's mind grabbed at the fact relevant to her experience.
Wait, bad rejuvenation drugs? Do you know if any of them were bought for Fleet?
As a matter of fact, yes. Apparently, Fleet had noticed some problem with the rejuvenation of senior NCOs.
Yes, we certainly did.
Hobart wanted market share back. When he became Speaker, he stifled the discussion and the research and started pushing rejuvenation in the open market again. The Benignity claims that's why they killed him.
And in the meantime, Brun's uncle was trying to grab her father's inheritance on the grounds that he was not of sound mind because he sent Fleet to get Brun away from the New Tech's militia.
We thought we finally had things under control. Before the 2 deaths, we'd found evidence that my uncle had intimidated other family members into giving him their proxy or leaving him their shares. The court upheld my father's will, and Hollis is under investigation. Oh, but now...
It's a mess.
I can see why. And then the mutiny?
Oh, yeah. The Consulines would probably declare open war on the Barraclophs if they had the military to do it with. But so far, the Loyalists and the fleet are holding firm. The mutineers, whew. We hear rumors that some of them have offered their services to various families, including the Consulines.
Mercenaries.
Yep. Here's the house.
Appledale reminded Esme a little of the big house on the Suiza Estancia. Large, surrounded by gardens and orchards and outbuildings. Inside, Brunn led the way to a room that overlooked a walled garden and swimming pool and settled into a chintz-covered easy chair.
Now, Esme, let's hear your news.
Esme made the story as brief as she could. The quarrel with Admiral Serrano, the emergency call announcing the mutiny, her hasty marriage to Baron while in transit to their new assignments, her abrupt dismissal from Fleet.
That doesn't sound like her. She's a Serrano, yes, the temper and all that, but I found her fair. She has to know that whatever happened hundreds of years ago isn't your fault.
It's a matter of honor, she said.
Well, honor is highly overrated, at least when it makes people do stupid things.
We think a lot of honor on Altiplano, and in Fleet.
Brunn waved her hand.
There's honor and honor. I'm thinking of the stupid kind, like children taking dares. Well, not that I didn't. But I wasn't using my head when I did.
Leaving honor out of it, why do you think Admiral Serrano changed her mind and kicked you out?
Because I was told Admiral Serrano had signed the order.
Well, there's lots of Admiral Serrano. Maybe it wasn't Baron's grandmother after all. I liked her, even if she was a bit scary.
Esme thought of the cold eyes that had been so full of enmity.
But it must have been Vita Serrano. Who else would do it if she didn't want it done?
Stupidity and confusion. Happens all the time in big organizations. Someone thought he could make Baron's grandmother happy by canning you, not knowing that she changed her mind. Who else was at this family meeting?
I didn't even get to meet them all.
What you need is a good lawyer. I can use my influence, but we need help. Kevil Mahoney's the obvious one. I think he's getting his new arm grown in. But if he can't do it, he still has contacts who can help us. And perhaps we should move into town for a while. I don't think it'll be that much harder to secure the townhouse than Appledale. I'll call George.
Kevil Mahoney grinned as Brunn and Esme came into his room at the rehab center.
Ah, I was wondering if that was your cheerful voice I heard coming down the hall. And this is the redoubtable Lieutenant Sweezer, I presume.
Not a lieutenant anymore, sir.
What'd you do, Brunn? Poison her mind with your anti-discipline nonsense?
Uncle Kevil, she was kicked out unfairly. We have to do something.
You mean you want me to do something?
To start with, to listen to the whole story. Go ahead, Esme.
This seemed brusque at best, but Kevil nodded to Esme.
Go on, then.
Esme retold the story, beginning with Admiral Serrano's attack on her. Kevil listened with his eyes closed. She wondered if he were dozing off. But when she finished, he opened them and began asking questions. The same questions as Brunn and Kate at first, and then more and more, questions that had never occurred to her.
Altiplano's trade policy?
Esme knew nothing about it.
Altiplano's association with the Crescent Worlds?
Nothing so far as she knew.
The Emeralds?
Esme felt that he was dragging out of her everything she knew, had assumed, or even imagined about her homeworld. Finally, he stopped.
Interesting.
He closed his eyes again. Esme took the chance to get a drink of water.
Very interesting indeed. I was talking to Bunny about this sort of thing before he died. We were both aware that the underlying structure of the Familius Regnant had not kept pace with the spatial and population growth.
In what way?
Well, when you come right down to it, the Familius began as a commercial consortium dedicated to profit. A consortium that agreed to pool resources to control space piracy, which was cutting into everyone's profits. And if that sounds like a government to you, Brunn, it's because your very expensive finishing school taught you more about social graces than social sciences.
But aren't governments always designed for the profit of the citizens?
Good gracious, no. Where'd you get that idea? Altiplano, of course. One of the grand social experiments of history. Sorry. Didn't mean to be sarcastic.
Kevil hitched himself around in bed.
Blast this thing. I want to move my shoulder. No, I can't. Not for another 23 hours and 16 minutes.
That's soon.
That long. It feels like forever. But this is an interesting distraction. It's certainly not often the two beautiful young women have come to me to listen to a lecture on legal history.
Oh, don't be silly, Uncle Cavill.
I'm not. I'm quite serious. And I hope you will be, a young scamp. It's time to grow up, Charlotte Brunhilde. You and me and the entire Familius. We're like a child who's been playing games in a large walled garden. Now we're outside and it's not make-believe.
I think I have seen a bit of the real world.
Yes, and Lieutenant Sweezer here has seen more. But there's a lot neither of you knows about. Remember when Otala Moraline disappeared, and there was all that trouble on Patchcock? That's when your father and I began to realize how deep the chasm was, just on the topic of rejuvenation therapy alone. The Familius isn't like the other multi-star organizations we know of. There's no coherence to it. It just sort of grew, absorbing anything that lay in its sphere of influence.
Kate says something like that, but she keeps harping on a constitution.
Yes, well, the Lone Star Confederation is a constitutional government. Until we moved in, the Crescent Worlds were a religious one. Most governments start with either a common culture or a common political theory. We didn't. This laissez-faire approach worked very well for a long time because the founding septs were rich, and the worlds they gathered in brought them even more profits. But it couldn't go on forever, especially not when most of the people who actually had power started acting like dilettantes.
A brisk woman in a flowered jumper came in.
Excuse me, it's time to turn the tank, Sarah Mahoney.
Esme and Bruin stepped back as she came to the bed.
Visitors out, please. This'll take about a half hour to rotate and reposition.